Próbna matura. Język angielski. Poziom rozszerzony. Rozumienie ze słuchu. Wysłuchaj dokładnie informacji dotyczących tej części egzaminu. Rozumienie ze słuchu trwa 25 minut i składa się z trzech zadań. Zadania te sprawdzają umiejętność rozumienia wypowiedzi rodzimych użytkowników języka angielskiego. Usłyszysz nagranie, które zawiera zarówno teksty, jak i polecenia do poszczególnych zadań. Każdy tekst zostanie odtworzony dwa razy. Na płycie przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z treścią zadań oraz ich rozwiązanie, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz natomiast dźwięk. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania zgodnie z usłyszanymi poleceniami w czasie słuchania tekstów oraz w trakcie trwania przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie trzy teksty. Z podanych odpowiedzi wybierz właściwą, zgodną z treścią nagrania. Zakreśl literę A, B lub C. Tekst pierwszy.
I love coming here. There are so many squirrels around.
The funny thing is, I've recently read an article about squirrels in urban green spaces. Do you know they've been intentionally brought to parks to alter people's conceptions of nature?
I don't get it. What do you mean?
Well, by the mid-19th century, there were practically no squirrels in parks. They were introduced to parks in 1870. The idea was that having living creatures in parks was crucial to providing leisure, for example, for those who couldn't afford to travel outside.
That's interesting. I guess that feeding squirrels can also teach children how not to be cruel. Look at that one, for example. It's so adorable.
Text drugi.
I'm British. After graduating from high school, I decided to set off for a gap year to New Zealand. Well, half a year to be exact. The whole journey was a magnificent experience, but I recall one unforgettable situation. On a night out, I met a British girl called Cindy in a pub. We chatted for some time about our trips and plans for the future, not specifically though. We finished a drink and went our separate ways. A year later, I enrolled on a university course. I remember being almost late for my first lecture. I hurried into the lecture hall and took the first free place available. Guess who was sitting next to me? Cindy, the girl whom I met on the other side of the world.
Text trzeci.
Scientists discovered a long time ago that there is a connection between people's senses of taste and smell. You can observe it when you have a runny nose and you think everything you eat tastes like cardboard. Now, in a new research, they have examined that link again, discovering that sense of hunger is also affected by sense of smell. That's why seniors eat less. Their sense of smell becomes diminished with age. It may happen due to allergies or other chronic medical conditions. Now scientists have to examine that discovery more closely, because some scientists think that people with heightened sense of smell may be more prone to becoming overweight.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz. Tekst pierwszy.
I love coming here. There are so many squirrels around.
The funny thing is, I've recently read an article about squirrels in urban green spaces. Do you know they've been intentionally brought to parks to alter people's conceptions of nature?
I don't get it. What do you mean?
Well, by the mid-19th century, there were practically no squirrels in parks. They were introduced to parks in 1870. The idea was that having living creatures in parks was crucial to providing leisure, for example, for those who couldn't afford to travel outside.
That's interesting. I guess that feeding squirrels can also teach children how not to be cruel. Look at that one, for example. It's so adorable.
Text drugi.
I'm British. After graduating from high school, I decided to set off for a gap year to New Zealand. Well, half a year to be exact. The whole journey was a magnificent experience, but I recall one unforgettable situation. On a night out, I met a British girl called Cindy in a pub. We chatted for some time about our trips and plans for the future, not specifically though. We finished a drink and went our separate ways. A year later, I enrolled on a university course. I remember being almost late for my first lecture. I hurried into the lecture hall and took the first free place available. Guess who was sitting next to me? Cindy, the girl whom I met on the other side of the world.
Text trzeci.
Scientists discovered a long time ago that there is a connection between people's senses of taste and smell. You can observe it when you have a runny nose and you think everything you eat tastes like cardboard. Now, in a new research, they have examined that link again, discovering that sense of hunger is also affected by sense of smell. That's why seniors eat less. Their sense of smell becomes diminished with age. It may happen due to allergies or other chronic medical conditions. Now scientists have to examine their discovery more closely, because some scientists think that people with heightened sense of smell may be more prone to becoming overweight.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Zadanie drugie. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie cztery wypowiedzi na temat rezygnacji z oglądania telewizji. Do każdej wypowiedzi, od 1 do 4, dopasuj odpowiadające jej zdanie, od A do E. Wpisz rozwiązania do tabeli. Uwaga! Jedno zdanie zostało podane dodatkowo i nie pasuje do żadnej wypowiedzi.
Most people set out to watch a few shows after work in the evening because it lets them wind down and relax. Unfortunately, television may help to relax your body, but it doesn't always relax your mind. I was a typical time waster. While I was watching TV, I wasn't doing other things that could be done instead of sitting around and mindlessly staring at some show. One day my TV broke, and since I was short on cash, I couldn't have it repaired at once. And I've suddenly discovered a whole variety of activities. I utilized my time reading, seeing friends, and exercising. Believe me, those are all far better uses of your time.
Dwa.
I guess that I used to be a TV addict, overweight and always tired. Since I quit completely, I've noticed that a huge reason many Americans need to put down the remote and step away from the television has to do with the rise in obesity. Sitting and watching television for hours makes it difficult to lose those extra kilograms. It also urges people to eat in front of the television, which removes focus from food and makes it easier to overeat. Sitting around on your bum can also affect your muscles through lack of use, and it can make you feel weak and drowsy.
3.
I used to have my news channel on all day, every day. And you know what? I felt a lot of anger and frustration. Whether I was watching something funny or something dramatic, every show on the air had some form of pessimism nestled under those viewer-friendly layers, and that disrupted the way that I thought about other areas of my life. Also, watching so much injustice and negativity caused me to react far less intensely to real-life situations of the same nature. Quitting TV for good made me feel relieved. I no longer stress out about things I have absolutely no control over.
4.
My TV addiction actually caused shopaholism. Aside from the obvious mentions of products within movies and television programs, there are also commercials to consider, which sell to you subliminally, whether you realize it or not. This led to me over-shopping and spending money on things I didn't actually need. When I resigned from my cable TV, I suddenly discovered I had a lot of extra money. I didn't think before that fees were so expensive because I had seen it as something essential. So I saved on that too. Internet's enough for me if I want to catch up with the latest episode of some TV series. But no commercials. Not anymore.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz. 1.
Most people set out to watch a few shows after work in the evening because it lets them wind down and relax. Unfortunately, television may help to relax your body, but it doesn't always relax your mind. I was a typical time waster. While I was watching TV, I wasn't doing other things that could be done instead of sitting around and mindlessly staring at some show. One day my TV broke, and since I was short on cash, I couldn't have it repaired at once. And I've suddenly discovered a whole variety of activities. I utilized my time reading, seeing friends, and exercising. Believe me, those are all far better uses of your time.
2.
I guess that I used to be a TV addict, overweight and always tired. Since I quit completely, I've noticed that a huge reason many Americans need to put down the remote and step away from the television has to do with the rise in obesity. Sitting and watching television for hours makes it difficult to lose those extra kilograms. It also urges people to eat in front of the television, which removes focus from food and makes it easier to overeat. Sitting around on your bum can also affect your muscles through lack of use, and it can make you feel weak and drowsy.
3.
I used to have my news channel on all day, every day. And you know what? I felt a lot of anger and frustration. Whether I was watching something funny or something dramatic, every show on the air had some form of pessimism nestled under those viewer-friendly layers, and that disrupted the way that I thought about other areas of my life. Also, watching so much injustice and negativity caused me to react far less intensely to real-life situations of the same nature. Quitting TV for good made me feel relieved. I no longer stress out about things I have absolutely no control over.
4.
My TV addiction actually caused shopaholism. Aside from the obvious mentions of products within movies and television programs, there are also commercials to consider, which sell to you subliminally, whether you realize it or not. This led to me over-shopping and spending money on things I didn't actually need. When I resigned from my cable TV, I suddenly discovered I had a lot of extra money. I didn't think before that fees were so expensive because I had seen it as something essential. So I saved on that too. Internet's enough for me if I want to catch up with the latest episode of some TV series. But no commercials. Not anymore.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Zadanie trzecie. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie wywiad ze znawcą sztuki. Z podanych odpowiedzi wybierz właściwą, zgodną z treścią nagrania. Zakreśl literę A, B, C lub D.
Today, when someone points a camera at us, we smile. We have plenty of pictures of smiling people on our phones. This is the cultural and social reflex of our time. But I've recently visited an art gallery and it turned out that there were almost no portraits with people smiling. Why is that so? Nicholas Jeeves, an artist and art lecturer, will surely answer my question. Nicholas?
Hello, everybody. You're right. A walk around any art gallery will reveal that the image of the open smile has, for a very long time, been deeply unfashionable. What you can see in some portraits is a smirk, the most famous one being Mona Lisa. It is a kind of magic. When you first glance at her, she has a friendly smile. But when you look again, she seems to have changed her mind about you. However, it's hard to see an old portrait with so-called full smile.
Exactly. It's a commonly held belief that for hundreds of years people didn't smile in pictures because their teeth were generally awful. Is it true?
Not really. Bad teeth were so common that this was not seen as necessarily taking away from someone's attractiveness.
So why didn't the people smile?
Both painters and sitters did have a number of good reasons for being disinclined to encourage the smile. The primary reason is as obvious as it is overlooked. It is hard to do. In the few examples we have of broad smiles in formal portraits, the effect is often not particularly pleasing, and this is something we can easily experience today.
How come?
When a camera is produced and we are asked to smile, we perform gamely. But should the process take too long, it takes only a fraction of a moment for our smiles to turn into uncomfortable grimaces. What was voluntary a moment ago immediately becomes intolerable. A smile is like a blush. It is a response, not an expression per se, and so it can neither be easily maintained nor easily recorded.
Now, a smile is a physical signal of warmth, enjoyment, or happiness. Was it the same in the past?
By the 17th century in Europe, it was a well-established fact that the only people who smiled broadly in life and in art were the poor ones. Showing the teeth, good or bad, was for the upper classes a breach of etiquette. And a portrait was never so much a record of a person, but a formalized ideal. Nowadays, each of us is recorded across hundreds or thousands of images, and many of us are smiling broadly. Collected, they represent us accurately in all our moods. So we no longer have to worry about being defined by one picture.
Thanks for the interview, Nicholas.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Today, when someone points a camera at us, we smile. We have plenty of pictures of smiling people on our phones. This is the cultural and social reflex of our time. But I've recently visited an art gallery and it turned out that there were almost no portraits with people smiling. Why is that so? Nicholas Jeeves, an artist and art lecturer, will surely answer my question. Nicholas?
Hello, everybody. You're right. A walk around any art gallery will reveal that the image of the open smile has, for a very long time, been deeply unfashionable. What you can see in some portraits is a smirk, the most famous one being Mona Lisa. It is a kind of magic. When you first glance at her, she has a friendly smile. But when you look again, she seems to have changed her mind about you. However, it's hard to see an old portrait with so-called full smile.
Exactly. It's a commonly held belief that for hundreds of years people didn't smile in pictures because their teeth were generally awful. Is it true?
Not really. Bad teeth were so common that this was not seen as necessarily taking away from someone's attractiveness.
So why didn't the people smile?
Both painters and sitters did have a number of good reasons for being disinclined to encourage the smile. The primary reason is as obvious as it is overlooked. It is hard to do. In the few examples we have of broad smiles in formal portraits, the effect is often not particularly pleasing, and this is something we can easily experience today.
How come?
When a camera is produced and we are asked to smile, we perform gamely. But should the process take too long, it takes only a fraction of a moment for our smiles to turn into uncomfortable grimaces. What was voluntary a moment ago immediately becomes intolerable. A smile is like a blush. It is a response, not an expression per se, and so it can neither be easily maintained nor easily recorded.
Now, a smile is a physical signal of warmth, enjoyment, or happiness. Was it the same in the past?
By the 17th century in Europe, it was a well-established fact that the only people who smiled broadly in life and in art were the poor ones. Showing the teeth, good or bad, was for the upper classes a breach of etiquette. And a portrait was never so much a record of a person, but a formalized ideal. Nowadays, each of us is recorded across hundreds or thousands of images, and many of us are smiling broadly. Collected, they represent us accurately in all our moods. So we no longer have to worry about being defined by one picture.
Thanks for the interview, Nicholas.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął. Sprawdź, czy wszystkie rozwiązania zostały przeniesione na kartę odpowiedzi. Następnie przystąp do wykonywania pozostałych zadań.